We're on tip of the O'Clock and Wall. It's about time we're hanging up. Golly, we hope you've had as much fun as we've had, because we certainly had fun up here. Last call for alcohol. It's motel time. Motel spelled backwards is let him. Don't forget Sunday's a jam session. Monday night's a twist contest. Tuesday we're going topless. Wednesday we're going naked. Thursday we're going to jail. Friday we're going to shoot up a Volkswagen. In the kneecap. Should be a lot of fun. Thank you for coming by. Nice to see you. Check your cheese. How's your sister? How's your mom?
A long time ago when we worked here, back in the olden days, we got fired from this club circuit for playing this song.
One, two, three, four, five.
Nelda, baby, surf along with me.
Nelly, oh, Nelly, I will surf along with thee.
Nelda, baby, surf along with me.
Nelly, oh, Nelly, I will surf along with thee.
We will have funsies,
we will have funsies.
Wee, 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 wee. Come on, little Nelda, do the surfer stomp with me.
No, me.
Forget it.
I've already forgotten it. I don't know, it just makes me sick. He's trying to make a decent record. This guy's yelling, shouting, and screaming, and stomping, and making all kinds of noise, and it just makes me sick.
Nelda, baby, it is fun to stomp with you.
Nelly, oh, if you only knew.
Nelda, baby, it is fun to stomp with you.
Nelly, oh, if you only knew.
Howdy folks, this is Scott Parker and you're listening to episode 20, the big 2-0 of the ZappaCast for September of 2014. This is just kind of a quickie stopgap episode, in part because we're going to be coming at you with some things that are rather special coming up in the next few episodes or so. This episode, we're going to take a look at the one and only magnificent vocalist for the Mothers of Invention from 1965 to 1968, Mr. Ray Collins. And at the top of the show, you heard Ray's dulcet tones on a version of America Drinks, which is thought to be from the Mothers' gig at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles in 1968. And that segued into a track called Surf Along, which was released as the B-side of a single in 1963, and features Ray Collins and Frank Zappa sharing the lead vocal for what was kind of a silly novelty song. Later on in the broadcast, we're going to hear an interview with Don Preston and Bunk Gardner of the Grandmothers of Invention. And while this show is not necessarily devoted to this particular topic, I would like to call your attention to a brand new book that I've just written called The Making of a Freak Out, which is a book about the making of the first Mothers of Invention album, Freak Out. It is now available through GNS Music, Amazon.com, and all other right-thinking booksellers. It features some interesting behind-the-scenes stuff I hope that you will enjoy. We will be talking more about that in a future episode. But for now, let's dig into the history of one Mr. Ray Collins.
He's the world's greatest sinner. I said the world's greatest sinner.
more. He's the world's greatest sinner. If you've never a sin before, then you know what I mean. If you see him walking around the floor, he's the meanest creature you ever seen. He's the world's greatest sinner. I said the world's greatest sinner.
That was The World's Greatest Sinner by Baby Ray and the Ferns, released as a single in 1963 featuring Ray Collins on lead vocal. The track was produced by Frank Zappa. What we're going to do here is give you a sort of audio biography of the fabulous Ray's fabulous work, along with some biographical details, which I'm just basically going to give you a thumbnail sketch of. Unfortunately, Ray was seldom interviewed about his life, so details on his activities pre and post his involvement in the Mothers of Invention are rather sketchy, but this will provide a little thumbnail sketch for you. Ray was born on November 19, 1936 in Pomona, California, which is a town in the desert where he grew up. He was the son of a local police officer. He was married when he was 18, but the marriage soon ended in divorce. By the time he was in his early 20s, Ray was getting work in and around the Los Angeles area, singing backup vocals for a number of doo-wop groups, including Little Julian Herrera and the Tigers. In 1962, Ray started to work doing sessions at PAL Recording Studio in Cucamonga, which is where he met Frank Zappa, who was working at the studio as an engineer and as a musician. Ray and Frank went on to become great friends and collaborated a number of times in those early Cucamonga days. And we're going to hear a little bit of their early collaborations now with two singles that were issued in 1963 featuring Frank and Ray. The first is the A-side of the single that featured The World's Greatest Sinner, which we heard before as the B-side. This one's called How's Your Bird, and it's going to be followed by the A-side of the track Surf Along, which we heard earlier in the program. We're going to hear Ray and Frank as Ned and Nelda performing Hey Nelda.
How you burn? true.
Paycheck, baby. So what else is new?
I love your complexion.
I have an infection.
Your hair is so fleecy.
And your hair is greasy.
We go together like peaches and cream. Oh, dearest Nelda, you are my dream. Hey, Nelda. Nelda, what's wrong?
I don't know. Just everything's going wrong. Our parents don't love us, and
I know, but things are tough
just,
all over, Nelda. We have
just
a lot of problems.
We're just teenagers, and everybody's against us.
The world is against us.
Everybody.
I feel the pressure.
We can't do it. We can't go on.
I'm under such strain.
We can't make it.
But we can make it.
I know, but...
a skin problem.
I know, but you just... Listen, I just didn't forget.
Well, if you feel that way about it, I'll forget
it, too.
I
never liked your greasy head anyway. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. Forget.
I still love you, Nelda.
I never loved you.
I still love you.
This is Paul Jackets, and tonight we're interviewing a very interesting guest. His name is Suck It Rocket.
Right, I sing.
Well, anyway, our interview tonight concerns Suck It Rocket and the time he got screwed by a small independent record company in Hollywood. Well, suck it.
I don't want to talk about it. Oh, I thought you were asking me about my first name. I don't want to talk about it.
There are millions of listeners and viewers out there, and all the shut-ins, they all want to find out about your problem, suck it.
That was the name of my record. Suck It Sings for All the Shut-ins, and it was really something. I'll sing it for you first.
I wish you would.
It goes, shut, shut, you're a shut-in, but I love you, woo. And then in the back... No, that's not all. Then the back was wop, 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 do, 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 wop.
Now, we happen to have a guitar player here in the studio. The union has sent one down to accompany you. We would like to have you demonstrate this song because it really does bear on your case.
Oh, well, okay. You are my shut-in. With your legs bandaged up, you can't go nowhere. You just sit and puke in a cup. Why, oh, why shut in? Why, oh, why did I break your arms and legs and your nose and put abrasions in all parts of your body? Oh, shut in, I love you. I still love you. I always have. Why do you stick your thing in your nose all the time? What are you doing?
I have a little tiny set of teeth up there that bites my fingernails.
Oh, shut in. Oh, me, oh, my. Shut in. This gets dramatic here. Shut in, oh, I love you. Oh, I've always loved you, shut it. Oh, dear God, your crippled legs when I kicked you in the nose. Oh, I shouldn't have. Oh.
Well, let me ask you a few more questions about this tune. Did you write it yourself?
Well, I did, and that's why I wanted to come on TV and tell all the teenagers out there about it, because...
You mean to say that there's hope for all teenagers if they like to write their own song?
There is. Just keep writing in and them and... But I wrote it, and I took it to this record company, and I said, oh, if I got a song, you should live. You haven't heard this. And then I didn't do Shut-In for them, but that was a B-side for you folks out there that don't
understand the B-side, that's showbiz talk. I've been in show business for, what time is it? 7, 8 minutes, I don't know. But anyway, I took in this song called You Gone, You Son of a Gun, You.
Before we go into You Gone, I'd like to find out a little bit about what they said when you played the B-side.
They said, that's a B-side, listen. They said, that's a boner, if ever I heard one.
When they heard the A-side, they were very excited about it, weren't they?
Oh, why do you keep putting your finger in your nose?
What did they
You're
say?
You're picking your nose.
What did they say about the A-side?
They said, oh, listen, I've heard some A-sides and I've heard some B-sides, but this is definitely one of the shittiest songs I've ever heard in my life.
I wish you'd just briefly sum up what you think of the people that you've been dealing with in the record industry.
And all I can sum it up by this, when you go in, kids, to try to get your record sold to a company or try to get a DJ to play your record, be prepared to drop your drawers, because you're going to get it right in the tuckus there. I'm sorry about that. And carry a little Vaseline or Dixie Peach or bromoquinine to suck on or something.
And that was How's Your Bird by Baby Ray and the Ferns, followed by Hey Nelda by Ned and Nelda. Two singles released in 1963 featuring Ray Collins and Frank Zappa. At the end of that little section, we heard Suck It Rocket, which was a recording made possibly at Frank Zappa's house in 1963 or 1964, which featured Frank Zappa playing the role of Paul Jackets and Ray Collins performing the role of a disgruntled musician by the name of Suck It Rocket. If only they knew. By early 1965, Ray was performing with a band in Pomona called the Soul Giants. This featured a drummer by the name of Jimmy Carl Black, a bassist by the name of Roy Estrada, Davey Coronado on sax, and Ray Hunt on guitar. In March of 1965, fate struck the Soul Giants when Ray Hunt and Ray Collins got into a rather bad fist fight, and Ray Hunt either quit or was forced out of the band. Looking for a lead guitarist to replace him, Ray Collins suggested his old friend Frank Zappa, who had recently been released from jail where he was being held on conspiracy to manufacture pornographic material charges. Frank wound up joining the Soul Giants, and in short order, the band was renamed the Mothers. Davey Coronado left the group to work in a bowling alley, and the remaining quartet set out on their way to fame and fortune, with Frank Zappa at the helm.
I'm talking about my baby, not your baby, say my baby, she's so fine. I'm talking about my baby, not your baby, say my baby, she's so fine. Right there to love me, people come rain or shine. But I love her, don't you love her? Say I love her, are you here? When I love her, don't you love her? Say I love her, are you here? She upsets my soul when she whispers sweet things in my ear. I love the way she walks. I love the way she talks. She makes me feel so good, just like a grown man should. She never makes me cry, and it's why she's my babe. She's my babe. Well, nothing could be better than to see her in a sweater and a real tight skirt that won't quit. Nothing could be better than to see her in a sweater and a tight skirt. They won't quit. She'll walk to the phone. Our people, let me tell you, that's it. Wow!
Thank you.
could be better than to see her in a sweater and a real tight skirt that won't quit. Nothing could be better than to see her in a sweater and a tight skirt that won't quit. She walked to the phone. Our people, let me tell you, that's it. My, babe. Well, I'm going to Chicago. That's the last place my baby stays. And I've got my bags all packed and ready. Gonna leave this old town right away. Hey, hey. I've got to find that girl. If I have to hitchhike around the world. Hitchhike, Chicago City, that's what the sign on the highway read. Hitchhike, I've got to make it to that street corner, down to a 6th and 3rd. Hey, hey. I've got to find that girl, if I have to hitchhike round the world. Hitchhike, baby, hitchhike, hitchhike, baby, hitchhike, hitchhike, baby. Hitchhike, hitchhike, baby. Oh, hitchhike, oh, hitchhike. Come on now. Well, I'm going to St. Louis, but my next stop, I just might be L.A. What I see? No money in my pocket, so I'm gonna have to hitchhike all the way. Hey, hey. I've got to find that girl if I have to hitchhike round the world. Hitchhike, 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 baby, hitchhike, hitchhike, children, hitchhike, hitchhike, baby. I'll hitchhike, I'll hitchhike.
They auditioned a number of guitarists to take the coveted fifth member slot in the Mothers lineup, eventually settling on Elliot Ingber, a local Los Angeles area guitarist. With this lineup, they recorded their first album, Freak Out, which was released in mid-1966. Here now, we're going to hear one of the tracks from Freak Out. Check out Ray's astonishing lead vocals on Any Way the Wind Blows.
Any way the wind blows is a fine with me. Any way the wind blows, it don't matter to me. Cause I'm through with a fussing and a fighting with you. I went out and found a woman who is gonna be true. She makes me oh so happy, now I never ever blue.
she loves me tenderly. Now my story can be told, just how good she is to me. Yeah, she treats me like she loves me, and she never makes me cry. I'm gonna stick with her till the day I die. She's not like you, baby, she would never ever lie. Any way the wind blows, any way the wind blows, any way the wind blows. That I am free from the troubles of the past. Took me much too long to see that our romance couldn't last. I'm gonna go away and leave you standing at the door. I'll tell you, pretty baby, I won't be back no more. 'Cause you don't even know what love is for.
Ray Collins' tenure with the Mothers of Invention was marked by a number of comings and goings. Ray never felt particularly comfortable with the musical direction that Frank took the band in. Quite often, the music strayed from Ray's R&B roots. Ray frequently was said to have felt like he was left out to dry, especially during some of the long instrumental passages. In what was obviously one of the happier times for Ray and the Mothers, the band recorded what became Ray's favorite Mothers album, Absolutely Free, which was released in 1967. The vocals for this were recorded as a sort of anarchistic group effort, and you can hear how much fun they were having in the studio, particularly on the track that you're about to hear now. This is Duke of Prunes, which will be followed by Amnesia Vivace, and the Duke regains his chops right here on the ZappaCast.
I'm gonna be through the prune in June. Reveals your chest. I see your lovely beans, and in that magic go-kart I bite your neck. The cheese I have for you, my dear, is real and very new. I've been through the prune in June. Reveals your chest. I see your lovely beans. And in that magic go-kart I bite your neck. The love I have for you, my dear, is real and very new. Prune, if it is a real prune, knows no cheese.
Chunka, 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 chunka,
and stands on no taller and stronger than any tree or bush. And I know the love I have for you
my love, I offer you a love that is strong, a prune that is true.
My Duchess of Prunes.
I'm going to be through the prune in June. It fills your chest. I see your lovely beams. And in that magical cut, I bite your neck. The cheese I have for you, my dear, is real and very new. And they just lie there, drowning and sickening, and it just, I don't know. Look, and I know, I think, the love I have for you will never end. Well, maybe. And so, my love, I offer you a love that is strong, a prune that is true.
That's the exciting part.
Just like the Supremes.
See the way it builds up.
Baby,
you feel it?
Baby, baby, baby. My prune is yours, my love. My cheese for you.
My baby prune
to you.
My baby,
I do.
My baby,
my dear.
My baby prune.
My baby prune.
Ray rejoined the Mothers in September of 1967, just prior to their first European tour, and Ray was a prominent member of the band for those shows. Right now we're going to check out some selections recorded during that first European tour. From the Falconer Teacher in Copenhagen, Denmark on October 1st, 1967, we're going to hear Jelly Roll Gumdrop, and that will be followed by a medley of No Matter What You Do, Blue Suede Shoes, Hound Dog, G, and Duke of Earl, recorded the next day on October 2nd, 1967, at the Olympen in Lund, Sweden.
This is a song about tits.
Get my eyes on you. I can be a slave for the rest of my life as long as I know that you'd be my wife.
Thank you.
Upon their return from Europe, the band settled into Apostolic Studios in New York City to record concurrently the next two Mothers of Invention albums. The first of these was Cruising with Reuben and the Jets, a tribute to 1950s R&B and doo-wop, which starred Ray Collins in what was inarguably his shining moment as a member of the Mothers of Invention. Comfortably in his element, Ray is all over these tracks, and we're going to hear a few of the many highlights from Ray's performances on that album. From Cruising with Reuben and the Jets, we will start with Love of My Life.
Stars in the sky, they never lie. Tell me you need me, don't say goodbye. I love you, darling, I love you only.
Don't ever leave me, don't make me, don't make me, don't make me lonely.
I saw you walking down the street.
said, please hear my prune.
Love of My Life, Desiree, Anything, and You Didn't Try to Call Me from the Cruising with Reuben and the Jets album released in December of 1968, all featuring stunning lead vocals by the wonderful Mr. Ray Collins. During these same sessions, Frank also compiled tracks for the 1969 double album Uncle Meat, and Ray was featured on a few of these tracks as well. We will hear two of them right now. This is The Air, followed by Mr. Green Jeans from the Uncle Meat album.
The air escaping from your mouth. The air escaping from your nose. My heart escaping from the scraping and the shaping of the draping.
I'm
baggage truck. Beat the truck and driver and his gloves. Nutritiousness, deliciousness, worthlessness.
In August of 1968, Ray quit the band for what became the last time. The band soldiered on without him for about another year before Frank broke the group up. The reason for Ray's departure appears to have been simply that he did not particularly care for the musical direction that the band was going in, and he just wanted to do other things. He went back to Los Angeles and seems to have laid low for quite a while, working as, among other things, a taxi driver and various other odd jobs that he would take on pretty much for the remainder of his life. In May of 1970, Ray did come back to the band briefly for what is now known as the Mothers of Invention reunion shows, which was a series of shows that Frank played with a sort of reunited but also augmented Mothers of Invention lineup as a preface to their big show with the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra, which occurred on May 15, 1970 at the Pauley Pavilion at UCLA in Los Angeles. From that Contempo 70 show, we will hear the first two songs performed that night featuring Ray. This is My Boyfriend's Back and I'm Gonna Bust His Head right here on the Zappacast.
Thank you.
In 1980, Ray was coaxed out of semi-retirement to work with some of his ex-bandmates in a project called The Grandmothers. And The Grandmothers released an album in 1981 called Looking Up Granny's Dress. And from that album, we will now hear a track that Ray recorded for that project. This is Mayonnaise Mountain.
I know a man who's been walking around Mayonnaise Mountain a long time. I've been trying to be
Mayonnaise Mountain by Ray Collins, performed by the Grandmothers from their 1981 album Looking Up Granny's Dress. Shortly after the Grandmothers dissolved in a haze of litigation and bad feelings, Ray went back to Los Angeles and basically did what he had done for several years prior to that, which was just work around a series of odd jobs and generally kept a low profile until finally he passed away from congestive heart failure on December 24th of 2012 at the age of 76.
Boom, 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 boom You surely must be trying to break this heart of mine. I thought you knew I loved you and we'd share love so fine. But later that night, you walked that lock on my door. My clothes out on the street, don't want my love no more. Trying to break this heart of mine. I thought you knew I loved you and we'd share a love so fine. But later that night, padlock on my door, my clothes out on the street, don't want my love no more. And I cry. Put me out in the street. You threw my best shock skin suit out the lawn, right on top of some dog waste.
I hold in my hand three letters from the stages of your fine, fine, super fine career.
And my best white shirts with a Mr. B collar laying all over the front lawn. Where's my cufflinks? Let me back in there. There.
There's no room to breathe here.
That's right, honey. You can come out of the closet now.
Hi fans, your old pal the Idiot Bastard here with a very quick news roundup. First off, I should mention that Scott Parker's excellent A Freak Out in the Making, covering everything you needed to know about the making of the Mother's debut album, has just been published. You can get it on Kindle right this very minute, or in paperback in slightly slower time. Well worth acquiring, in my humble opinion. The Norwegian Chamber Orchestra has a new hybrid SACD album out called Perfect Strangers. It features nearly 40 minutes of Frank from a concert recorded a couple of years ago. There's an exciting new official 4CD set by Captain Beefheart out in November. Sun Zoom Spark, 1970 to 1972, features remastered versions of Lick My Decals Off Baby, The Spotlight Kid, Clear Spot, and a fourth disc of alternate versions, rehearsals, and outtakes from the sessions for the two Spot albums. Sapanali No. 26 will take place on the 16th to 19th of July 2015 and should feature Band from Utopia, The Z3 with Ed Mann, Bogus Pomp, Peach Noise, Osric Tentacles, Magma, and many more. There's a brand new documentary DVD from Tom O'Dell and Prison Films called Frank Zappa, 1969 to 1973, Freak Jazz, Movie Madness and Another Mother's. It contains bespoke interviews with George Duke, Ainsley Dunbar, Don Preston, Jeff Simmons, Mark Volman, Max Bennett, Sal Marquez, Ian Underwood and Tony Palmer. Former Yes Man John Anderson is currently collaborating with Jean-Luc Ponty on an album that should be out early next year. The 40th edition of Frank's classic Apostrophe album will be available on 180 gram vinyl at the end of September. There's been no mention of other formats, but I think at some point we can expect a CD with the bonus of Down in the Dew and the single version of Don't Eat the Yellow Snow, which were released as a 7-inch single last Record Store Day. Warren Cucurillo's latest project, The Master, with the late great Sarangai player Ustad Sultan Khan, is now out. It features Vaultmaster Joe Travers, and you can grab it from all the usual places. A pristine rediscovered recording of the FZ-hosted tribute to Edgar Varèse at New York's Palladium on 17th of April 1981 can now be heard online, thanks to New York's classical music radio station WQXR. As ever, links can be found on my news page at www.idiotbastard.com. And finally, in the heart of England next March, we hope to hold another festival Moir. Already signed up to play are the legendary Ike Willis with Zapatica, the amazing John Etheridge with his Zapatistas, and our very own, the Muffin Men. We need to ensure we break even this time, so please order a ticket before Halloween to ensure it happens. Once again, links and more details can be found at idiotbastard.com.
And now, boys and girls, we have a very special treat for you. Our brand new Zappacast correspondent, Tim Uphead Brook, spoke to former Mothers of Invention and current Grandmothers of Invention members Don Preston, Bunk Gardner, and David Parlato during their European tour a short time ago. And here, exclusively for the Zappacast, is Tim's conversation with Don, David, and Bunk.
First of all, how is the tour so far? I mean, 15 gigs in a row must be exhausting.
It's, you'd think so, but it's not, because there's so much energy coming out of the audience and going back to the audience and everything. It just it keeps us going. Mm-hmm. I can hardly fall asleep at night.
So much energy around from the audience.
And yeah.
And you, Bunk, you're back in the Grandmothers now. Is this for you a nostalgic tour, maybe?
Yes, it is. And they're so lucky to have me. What a difference it has been.
Yeah.
But thank you. But truly, I am enjoying it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder why I'm here, but it was meant to be. And it's been a long time since I've been on the road. And I wanted to go home after the first week. But, you know, it's like I'm such a creature of habit that it was hard.
Yeah.
Same thing. I had trouble sleeping and, you know.
I want to talk about the sax solo in Anything, which is my absolute favorite song, Anything, from Cruising with Reuben and the Jets. Okay. And I always wondered, is that the solo by Ian or is that a solo by you? And I think it's by you, right?
Yes. One of the reasons I have an old Martin saxophone, silver plated, that gets an old sound. And when we were recording it, I, you know, my first instinct was to, you know, do a lot of. And I caught myself and I just said, keep it very simple. And in the first take, I didn't like what I did, but it just felt. The second time that it was fit the music, and it just kind of went from there to, you know, I was very satisfied with it and with my horn, and I have a very personal relationship with my horn.
Tell me about it.
Well, that is a long story on how I got that horn, because I traded somebody for it. And it was a horn that was stolen out of the United States Marine Corps, and it has USM thing. But, you know, it's like when you find something that you have an affinity for, and I, you know, it's like very organic feeling. Although I am not playing it on this tour, it's very close to me, and I love the sound that I get with it. And on a lot of the earlier albums, I played, you know, on it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's got a special place for me.
Yeah.
Oh, she was just sitting there after the concert all alone, and I walked up and I said, I hope you enjoyed the music. She said, God, tenor sax is so sexy. And then I lied and I said, you know, it's my birthday. Why don't you come up and help me celebrate? She said, just a moment. And lo and behold, she had a sister. I said, Bunk. A menage a trois? So we went up to the room. Sonia and Hilda, that was their names. Sonia said, do you mind if I take a bath? I said, of course not. In fact, I think I'll go comfortable, get into my bathrobe. Hilda jumped right into bed. And then I heard a noise in the bathroom. And I walked in. And Sonia was bending over the bathtub with a bottle of olive oil, saying, you want to go for the third dimension?
First of all, you didn't like rock music at all. You were a jazz guy, classical music, and so forth. So how did you like the long guitar solos from Frank in the beginning?
Did I like it?
Yeah.
I accepted it.
Well, that was not the question.
Okay. Okay. I know, but I'm a very accepting person and very open to that and being in a new environment with this. It was very interesting, and believe me, the music and everything was such a challenge that I was in heaven.
Cool.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. You wrote a clarinet duet for Dog Breath.
How did you know that?
Well, I'm just a big fan. Sorry about that. But we never hear it. Is there any possible way that there is a recording of that?
No. Yes, actually, I went into the studio, and we didn't have a lot of time. But I wrote it to the point where it was too difficult on one or two takes. But I still have the music, and I look at it now, and I say to myself, "Bunk." You know, how did you play it? You know, I mean, anyhow, I still have it, and maybe at some point I'll try and record it, but I don't think anybody else knew that.
Well, one thing we do want to do is was it clarinet? I believe it was clarinet duet in Pound for a Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is, we're going to actually try to recreate that because nobody does that at all.
Over to you, David. You toured with Frank during the Grand Wazoo period, and I've heard that you shared a room with Sal Mocass. Now, that was quite a character. Can you tell me something about Sal Mocass?
Sal was over-the-top, kind of a maniac, you know, kind of a show-off. Kind of like really wild, you know. So I eventually put in for a transfer because, you know, he always had women in the room. I could never get into the room, you know. He was fun in a way, but it got old for me really fast, you know. I mean, the idea of being on the road, when you go to the room, you know, you want to have some kind of sanity, some kind of refuge from, and he was always on. That's another good way to think of it. Like, he was always trying to impress and do that. Now, having said all that, Sal plays beautiful trumpet, you know, and I think he's a beautiful spirit and a wonderful human being. And he really, as years went on, I know he did a lot of Miles Davis projects in Los Angeles that were quite high musical level and all that. I also know that he and Frank got on very well, that they were good buddies, and so very warm-hearted person that totally embraced life.
How did you came in contact with Frank? Do you have a horror story about your audition?
It's not really a horror story. It's it was right after they recorded Grand Wazoo, and a bass player was from England, and they put him credited him as erroneous because he didn't have a work permit, so he had to go back. So the band needed a bass player, and a lot of the people in the band I knew, and so I got recommended to come down. And so I sight-read the music that they had with the full band there, you know. And so Frank said, okay, you have the job, but give me the music. So then the next rehearsal, he came in with the music, and I opened it up, and I look at it, and it was, like, much more difficult. And so I looked at him like, what are you doing, you know, or what does this mean, or, mm-hmm. you know. And he said, well, it was too easy for you, and I want everybody in the band to feel that they're only going to be able to execute their part accurately 7 out of 10 times. He actually used that mathematical percentage, you know. So, because you said, I want that kind of anxiety for everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. So I that was a lot of insight, you know. Not a horror story, really. I mean, it was a challenge, but it showed me that he didn't want to have a band that was bored because the music wasn't challenging enough, you know. He wanted that kind of excitement that everybody had to be on their toes. So that was the initial way of realizing what kind of a prolific artist, creatively speaking, that he was, and how he really thought of the energy that he wanted to have in a band, you know.
How do you remember Lowell George? Can you tell me something about moments?
We met Lowell George when we first joined the band. We were playing at the Whiskey Go-Go, and he had a band called The Factory, and they opened for the Mothers at that time. Same drummer, Richie, I think a different bass player, but the bass player at the time was living with one of Nat King Cole's daughters. I'm not sure which one. But it was a very colorful group and very good group and everything, and over the years I got to know Lowell a lot better. One thing that very few people know is that he was a very excellent shakuhachi player.
Oh, really?
Which is a Japanese flute that you blow over the top of it. And I actually played one for a while. My wife threw it out, but... Nevertheless, I got to know, the fingering and how difficult it was to play.
Yeah.
He was a great player in that. He studied in Japan for like 3 years or something like that, you know.
Okay. I've heard that he was kicked out of the band because of the song Willen that he wrote, a song about drugs. And Frank didn't accept that. Is that the real reason why he quit the band? What? So for once and for all, what was the reason that Lowell quit the Mothers?
He wasn't kicked out of the band, is what I remember. He left, right? Because
and I think actually it was mutual because, you know, to be standing in the shadows all the time and not really getting a chance to perform and be in the limelight, it's, you know, after a while it's like, I'd really like to be able to... And he didn't. And I think it was really mutual that he had ideas and things and a direction that he wanted to go. And look what he did with the Little Feet. So it was a good move for him in a lot of ways.
And I've been from Tucson to Tucum, Kerry, to Hatchet Bay, to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. Driven the backwoods so it won't get weighed. And if you give me weed, whites, and wine, and then you show me a sign, I'll be willing to be moving.
You played in 69 with Roland Kirk, right?
Yes.
Can you remember something from that gig?
Oh, I do. I remember we were playing on stage, and my brother was playing a solo, and Roland came up behind my brother. My brother let him play the notes while my brother blew, and I said, it blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was leading Roland around was probably just as crazy, if not more crazier than Roland. But I never forgot that. That was really crazy.
Wow.
One of the main things I remember was that we were at a party and somebody had spiked the lemonade with... I don't know what, you know, some kind of psychedelic thing. And he had never taken any kind of LSD before. And one of my specialties in life at the time was helping people get through, you know, that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed up with him all night and kept calming him down and everything. And that was one of my experiences with Roland.
Did you record that show? Because I've heard that you had a little tape recorder.
No, I didn't record that show, but I recorded a bunch of other things that were equally impressive.
Yeah.
Right, Bung?
Yeah. And our roadie Motorhead at the time, who was, he wasn't into any drugs or anything, had some of the punch, and he kind of freaked out, and he probably never forgot that either, because you think you're just going to have a little, soda pop or whatever. And,
but was that the evening that you talked with your car?
No, that was in Woodstock. I took some psychedelic mushrooms, and we were all going to go to Los Angeles. And I was sitting. I had done a lot of things to my car, bought tires and went through the engine, a lot of stuff. And I started, it was a New Yorker, a green New Yorker. And I'm sitting there dangling my feet in the creek, and my car started saying, I'm not going to make it. And so I had a conversation about why my car wasn't going to make it. And it was fairly long, but I never got to that point. I forget where it was, Nebraska or someplace. I didn't have the oil pan cleaned out, and there was sludge in there, and it wasn't getting up, and I left the car there, and the guy gave me a couple of $100. I had brand new Goodyear Eagle tires on it, but I never forgot it. I hated to leave it there, and I apologized, to the car. But, what are you going to do?
I wish my car had talk to me, because I bought a Triumph, and it got as far as Detroit, and my sister lived in Detroit, so I just gave it to her, and took a plane the rest of the way. But she painted that whole car. She made it into a mother's car, kind of like that girl, Michigan. She's from somewhere
Flint,
around
Flint,
there.
Not Flint, but close by.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Great stories.
So she got it running again and everything, and it was all painted all over. All her faces were on the front of the car and everything. But, that was when the whole group kind of migrated back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and that was because there was a better
music? That was our home to begin with, and we were just going back home.
Jimmy Carl Black was the only one that actually made it, and a little Volkswagen bug that didn't have a first gear, but he got there.
God, he's transport.
We won't be able to handle him down here.
Thank you very much, Tim, and we will be hearing more from Tim in future episodes of the ZappaCast. To close out our show, we're going to hear a pair of tracks from recent grandmother's appearances from the Paradox in Tilburg in the Netherlands, March 16th, 2014. We're going to hear 20 Small Cigars, and that will be followed by Peaches and Regalia, the encore from the show on April 11th, 2014 at the Corner Hotel in Richmond, Australia. That's our show. Thank you very much for listening. The Zappacast was produced and edited by Scott Parker, Andrew Greenaway, Mick Eakers, and Scott Fisher. Be sure to check out Andrew's website at www.idiotbastard.com for all the latest Zappa news, and also to purchase Andrew's book, Zappa the Hard Way, the definitive account of the 1988 Frank Zappa Broadway the Hard Way tour. For those of you interested in obtaining my Zappa books, my website is located at www.spbpublishing.webs.com, and if you order the books directly from me, I'll sign them for you. My books are also available from www.gndsmusic.com, purveyors of the finest Zappa merchandise anywhere, as well as www.amazon.com and many other right-thinking booksellers. And you should also check out Mick Eaker's excellent site on Frank's gear at www.zappasgear.com. And for more information about Scott Fisher, you can go to fishersflicker.com. That's F-I-S-C-H-E-R-S. FLICKER.com. Scott is a very wonderful musician and songwriter, and you can check out some of his music at that website. If you wish to contact us, drop us a line at MOI1969, that's 1969, at SNET.net. On behalf of Andrew Greenaway, Mick Eakers, and Scott Fisher, this is Scott Parker saying thank you again for listening. And until next time, good night, boys and girls.
Thanks a lot. Good night.